Okay, Tov, and welcome back to our ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. Today's podcast, we have four Mishnayot, which really are two Mishnayot, Mishnah Vav, Mishnah Zayin, which together comprise four cases, all built on the same setup. And we begin at the very top of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, and we're going to go to Daf Lamed Amud Bet in the middle. All right, so the case is that there are three brothers, two of them married to two sisters, and a third married to an outsider. So we will refer to them as brother one and brother two, sister one and sister two, brother three and wife. And that's how we've noted them on the page. Okay, that's the case. That's the setup. Now here's the case. Brother one dies. Brother three legitimately does Yibamah. Umate. Now brother three dies. So now, sister one, the brother three, had done Yibumon, cannot have Yibum, and she's totally pata relative to brother number two, because Achotisha. And wife is now patur because she's tsarat Achotisha. That's easy. Now, Asaba Ma'amar, who made, let's say brother number three had only done Ma'amar on sister one, and then he died. The wife can only have chalitza from brother number two because there's sort of a zika created between sister number one and the wife because of the ma'amar. So it's not strong enough to exempt her, but it's so strong she cannot have yibum. She's sort of considered tsarat achot ishto bezika, and therefore she cannot do yibum. Gemara immediately is medayik. Tama David b'mamar. The reason that why the wife can only do chalitza is because brother number three did mamar and sister number one. Halo avad b'mamar. But let's say brother three had done nothing. Let's say brother one died, and then immediately brother three died. What would happen? Nochrit yevumi nami miyabma. Then the wife could have total yibum with brother number two. What does that prove? Amar Nachman, Zot Omeret, Ein Zika, V'afilu B'characha. Nachman says, you learn from here, that our Tana holds Ein Zika. We're going to get back to Rav Nachman at the end of the Shiur. Nachman holds Ein Zika, even when there's only one brother. Now let's step back a second. There's not one brother, there's two brothers here. Because the first one that I was brother number one, and at that point there was brothers three and two. However, as Rashi points out, brother two is out of the picture, because he's married to sister number one's sister. So that's not going to happen. So there's really only one brother who's in the running here, and that's brother number three. And there is Ein Zika even to him. So when brother number one died and sister number one fell, the only one she was falling to was brother number three. And yet, if brother number three died before he could do anything, brother number three's wife is not considered at all related to sister number one. She can then have Yibum with brother number two. Good. Next case. Same deal. Now, here we die in the opposite order. Brother three dies first. Brother one marries wife. Brother one now dies. So that's easy. Sister one cannot marry brother number two because achotishto. And wife cannot marry brother number two because she is achot, she's tsarat achot ishto. Asaba ma'amar umate. Let's say that brother number one had only done ma'amar on the wife and then died. Then the wife does need chalitza from brother number two because her connection to brother number one was not strong enough to make her a full tsarat. But again, just like in the first case, she may not have yibum. Good. So now the question is, how to lamali? The Gemara says, why do I need the second case? I know the same exact case. So hashtamahatam de achot isha. And now we're going to prove that the first case is even less obvious than the second case. In the first case, the principal wife that's falling is the nochrit, and the achot isha is the tsara of the nochrit, of the outsider. Amart nochrit asura, and in that case you even said the wife is asura to brother number two, and certainly sister number one is as her tzara. Hacha, in our case, Here, the principal one who's falling, because brother number one died second, so brother number one's original wife was sister number one. She is the principal wife, and wife, the one who was the wife of brother number three, is the tsara, lo kol shekein. So certainly, since she is the second wife to come along, and as a tsara, certainly she's going to be asur. So they'd say, right? So the answer is hach tana bereisha. The answer is that he actually learned this case first. The Tana learned this case first. Our first case. And originally, he learned the first case, Latera, meaning if the principal wife to fall is the outside wife and the Achotisha is her tsara, then he's originally thought the principal wife actually does Yibum. Vishaya, Vahadar Chazili Surah. Then he thought about it and came to the conclusion that she's really Asur. Since he was so enraptured with this new discovery that she was Asur, he made that Mishnah be first. But Mishnah lo zazim koman, an important point in the methodology of the transmission of Mishnah, is once a Mishnah is established, we don't change it, not its order and not its substance. Okay? So really, in truth, the second Mishnah here is unnecessary. Third case. Same thing. Good. Now here we go. Brother one died. And now, brother number three marries his wife. And now, sister number two dies. So brother number one died. Brother number three married his wife. Sister number two died. So brother number two is now unmarried. In that case, then brother number three dies. So now what happens is sister number one, who had had Yibum with brother number three, now falls to brother number two. Now brother number two right now has no wife. Brother number two was married to sister number two, but she died. And so at this point, you would think that he could do Yibum on sister number one because she's not a Chot Ishto, his wife is dead. Right? What's the answer? Harezu Asura Alav Olamit. The answer is no. Sister number one is always asur to brother number two. Why? Hoel v'nasra alav sha'achat. Because there was one point at which she was asur. When was she asur? She was asur when she originally fell. When brother number one died, she fell to brothers two and three. Brother two is out. She's asur to him because he's married to her sister. She goes to brother number three. That moment of isur during her nefilah means she's asur forever to him. And here we get the explanation based on a statement of Rav. We're going to test the statement of Rav against our Mishnah. I'm reviewing a Marav. Call Yivama she'in ani korei ba'vashat nefilah. Any Yivama about whom I cannot read the Pasuk. Declare the Pasuk. At the point of nefilah, what's the Pasuk? Yivama yavo aleha, that they can have Yibum. Harehi ke'eshet ishi ishto banim v'asura. It's as if she's an eshet ach, with children. She's asur forever. There's never a hetter for her. In other words, if at the moment of nefilah she is asur to the guy, the fact that something comes along later and is matir doesn't matter, she's asur forever. Good, now that's Rav's statement. Then we say, my kamashlon, what's Rav teaching us? Tanina, we learned that in a braita, in a Mishnah, harezu asura olav olamit, hoivan asura olav shachat. In our Mishnah, we said that since sister number one was asura to brother number two when she fell the first time, therefore, even though by the time she falls the second time, he's not married to her sister anymore because she's dead, nonetheless, she's asura to him. So what's Rav teaching us? The answer is as follows. Maybe that's because when she had the first nefilah, from the time that brother one died until brother number three married her, she was always asura to brother number two. So for the entire duration of the nefilah, there was no moment of heter to brother number two. That's what I would know from our Mishnah. But let's say there was a case. For instance, brother number one died, and she fell, and before anybody did anything, sister number two died. Then you might argue, in a case like that, because during the first nefilah she became mutter, maybe it would be mutter. In other words, our Mishnah would not teach us differently. Therefore, Rav has to say, no, if there's even one moment of Isser, that's enough. Right? Ma'udatema, sorry. Eimatishtari kamashmalan. So Hanamitanina, we even have that one. Shneachin nisuim shneachayot. You have two brothers married to two sisters. Meita chad meam. Brother one dies. V'chakach meita ishto shel sheni. And sister two dies. Harezu asarala v'lamit. Tov v'nesuala v'shachat. You even have that case, which is that because for 1 second, brother one died, sister one is also to brother number two. Even though a minute later sister two died, it doesn't matter. She was asur for 1 second. That's enough. That's not going to teach us Rav's principle either. Why? Because the minute that brother one died, sister one was free. She was already released from the household because there's only one household here to deal with, and that's brother two's. Brother two's rejected her because he's married to her sister. At that 1 second, she's already out. But in our case, brother one died, brother two isn't available, brother three is available, and brother three took her in, so she's not rejected from this household at all. Right? Here in this case, in our case, where she hasn't been totally rejected from the house, since she's ra'ui to brother number three, maybe she's also theoretically ra'ui to brother number two, and by the time things roll around and brother number two is available because sister number two died, I might think she'd be even kamash malan. So therefore, Rav has to give us this case, the statement that says, as long as there's one moment in which she's asur to the guy during any nefila, that makes her asur forever. Good. Okay, the fourth and final case. Okay, so you have, again, same thing. Three brothers, two married sisters, one married to an outsider. Now we introduce something new. Brother number one divorces his wife. Right? And then brother number three dies. And brother number one now marries the wife. And then brother number one dies. Now what happens? The wife falls to brother number two. The wife was never a co-wife with sister number one. So in that case we say, Zui Shamru, this is what the meaning in Mishnah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, to the Mishnah Bet, Kulan Shemetun Garshu Tzarotein Mutarot. Any case where the Erva dies or is divorced, then the Tzarot are allowed to have Yibam. Now remember we had a machlok at Rav and Rav Yirmiya, whether that is specifically if the Erva is divorced before the new wife comes in who we're talking about, or could they even share, be co-wives at the same time, as long as he divorced the Erva before the brother died? That's the question, right? So now let's see how that plays out. Time of the Girish v'Charkach Meit. So we're making an inference that the reason that the Tzara is allowed to marry is because brother number one divorced his wife before brother number three died, and the wife fell to him. Aval Meit v'Charkach Girish. But let's say brother number three died first, and therefore the wife fell to brother number one, and then only after that, brother number one divorced sister number one, asura. Then I would think that sister number two becomes asura to, sorry, sister, that wife, what the wife, is asura to sister brother number two. Amar Ravashi zotomer yezika afilu betrayachi. So Ravashi now comes up with a conclusion based on these cases that yezika, even if there are two brothers, meaning brother number three died, she fell. The wife fell to brothers number two and one. She was mutter to either one of them. We say that the Zika creates a bond as if they're married, and so that the co-wife of either one of them is a tzara. So therefore, when brother number one, after that, divorces sister number one, nonetheless, the wife is considered to be a tzara of sister number one. And then when brother number one dies, the wife goes free because she's a tzara to the sister of brother number two's wife. That's Ravashi's conclusion. Now, if you recall, in the first case, Rav Nachman made a diuk, that ain zika filu b'chad. And therefore, if the brother had not done ma'amar, the sister could have chalitza. Could have full yibum. So we're going to have to see how play these against each other. Rav Ashi, Kasha Rav Nachman. So Rav Ashi is going to be challenged by the case of Rav Nachman up above. Again, the first case was if the brother number three did ma'amar, then died, then sister number one, then the wife needs chalitza from brother number two, but he can't have yibum. The mashmaut was that if he had not done ma'amar, then the wife could have full yibum with brother number two. He would say, you know what? It's the same halacha. Your diuk is bad. It's the same halacha. Even if brother number three had not even done ma'amar, the minute brother number one died and she fell to him, and then brother number three dies, the wife cannot have yibum. She can only have chalitza from brother number two because of her connection with sister number one, right? And so why did they pick Mamar? How did Tani Mamar Lafuki Midibet Shammai Tami Mamar Kone Kivim Gamor? The reason that they picked Mamar was to contravene Beit Shammai's position. We saw in the previous year that Mamar is Kone Kinyan Gamor, right? Mamar is Kinyan Gamor that would make a total tzara and would mean she was part of the Gamre. Good Kamash Malan to look at Beit Shammai. So that's why our mission is saying, if she does Ma'amar, it's not as strong as if she did Yibum. Good. So that's how Rav Ashi would answer Rav Nachman's Diuk. He would say Rav Nachman's Diuk is bad. Indeed, in the first case that we had, even if the guy didn't do Ma'amar, the wife could still never do Yibum because Yesh Zika. And the reason they picked Ma'amar was to contravene Beit Shammai. Now let's flip it. Rav Nachman, Kasher Rav Ashi. How's Rav Nachman, who said, I learned from your Ein Zika, how's he going to answer Rav Ashi's diuk here, which is that it's only because brother number one divorced sister number one before brother number three died. But if brother number three died first and she fell, even though she fell to brothers one and two, Yesh Zika, strong enough that if afterwards he divorces sister one, it's too late. Rav Nachman kashya Rav Ashi, v'chitei mevadin nafilu meit v'achar kach gireish tzaratam muteret. So we're going to try to pull the same thing, which is to say your diuk is no good, and to say that in the last case, even if first brother number three died, and then brother number one divorced his wife, it would still be good. Then you'd have to answer as follows, Elazui, the Mutemai, what is the Zui at the end of our Mishnah saying? This is the case where Meitu and Garshu Tzarotein Mutarot, what's it eliminating? The Mute Kines V'Charkach Gireish. It's eliminating the case where you first took in the second wife, then you're Megarish the Erva, and then you died. In that case, you would say it's too late because they really were co-wives, right? Hanechi Savalak Rabbi Yirmiya Damar Tavra Mishushanazu Lo Shanazu. Right? Vahaitana Savra Mitam Apelad Vahaitana Savra Nisun Rishonu Apilim. We have this earlier at the end of the first parak, where Rav Yirmiya said that the first Mishnah is there to tell you that even if you got married and then married the Tzara, and then divorced the problem wife, and then died, nonetheless, the Tzara can still marry. And our Mishnah is excluding it, and it's two different authors, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. Then we're fine, and we'll say that our Mishnah is really excluding that possibility. Zui is excluding the case of Kines v'charkach Giresh. Right? That'll work. And the difference between the two approaches is whether Mita Mapelin or Nisuim Mishoni Mapelin. What creates the Zika? Is it the death of the brother, or does it go back to the time of the original marriage? Good. So Zoe Milimute Kines v'zov Giresh. Ali Yitzara l'akarav v'damar le'olam chatana hi v'zuva yitzarech l'mar zugtani. Rav, remember, was of the position that if you divorced the erva and then married the tzara, or even if you married the tzara first and then divorced the erva, in any case it's okay, and it's all one author, then zui the mute mai, then what's our mishnah excluding? Right, so the answer is Al Korcha Rabbi Yirmiya Sfira Lei. Must be that Rav Nachman, to maintain his position, has to accept Rav Yirmiya's position. That our Mishnah is not the same author as the first Mishnah, and our Mishnah is saying specifically, Giresh v'Charkach kines. All right, but if kines v'hakach kiresh, it wouldn't be good. Well, the Rava hanecha isa v'lakavashi. Now we got to flip it. Rava, who holds it's all one authorship, and says that in any case, the tzaraz muter is only going to work if he holds like Ravashi. Zui le muter mate below giresh. And therefore, he's going to have to say that the zui is going to have to be talking about a case where the brother died, and then the living brother divorced the erva, in which case the tzaraz osir. But if he holds like Nachman, what is Zui excluding? Must be that he holds like Ravashi, that indeed Yesh Zika Afilu Betray, and that that's the proper diuk. And in our Mishnah, it's only if Giresh Vacharkach mate, first he has to divorce the wife, and then the brother has to die because of Zika. And we're saying that in any one of those, that in that case, the only case that we're excluding, because Rav, remember, reads it as all being one flow of Ein Zu Ve'Ein Tzarich Lomar Zu, the only case that we're excluding and saying will not work is if first he marries he's married to the Erva, he marries the one who's an Erva to his brother, he then marries the Tzara, and then he divorces the Erva, and then he dies. In that case, you say, because they were really co-married at the same time, therefore, we call her Tzarat Erva, and therefore we do not apply the rule Kulam in Meitor and Garshu, Tzarotei and Mutarot. So, V'yot Hashem, in the next podcast, we'll pick up at this point on the Chlam on Amud Bet. Go to the next Mishnah, Alamud Aleph, Amud Bet. Everyone should have a wonderful